So, Retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day a much-loved entertainer died on live TV.
Then on Tuesday, we remember the Roots sensation of 1977.
On Wednesday, we unearth the bizarre story of the longest war you've never heard of.
On Thursday, the day an Italian became Queen of Poland.
And on Friday, we celebrate... the women who infiltrated the men-only Boston Marathon.
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the Retrospectors. 10 minutes each weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the last time I'll have to put up with you.
Oh, wait, hang on. I was about to be sad, but there was no need for that.
All right, yeah, coming in all guns blazing.
Yeah. Much less sad about it now.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, happily making way for LL Cool J to present from next week.
I frankly couldn't believe we got him, but then I saw what he did with the F1 and it suddenly, yeah, it's got no career anymore.
My favourite line of all the introductions was him going, and this is Charles Leclerc, who competed for the 2022 World Championship.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake. We will be expecting Verstappen to whiz by at any moment.
What, to say hi?
No, just to lap us.
Oh, I see.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake. I think I have to stop because I have a lump in my throat.
You won the 1996 World Championship, Pika.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the podcast F1 deserves. For one final time, I'm Tika Ayres, the Andrea De Sousa. I don't know who did that.
Yay!
I can't say his name.
Go on, have a crack.
Andrea De Cesaris.
De Cesaris. De Cesaris.
The Andrea De Cesaris. Why did you do that?
Oh, that was close. That was close.
De Cesaris. De Cesaris.
To be honest, Chica, I think maybe it's time. It's not working.
Of podcast presenters. The glue that holds this podcast together, the female energy that stops this factory being a dick fest, and the calming influence where Phil starts droning on about the facts and Terry thinks he's being hard by saying a lot. That is all to come. Joining me is a man who has discovered the joys of childhood. It is Phil Tromans.
We've had a bank holiday weekend again in the UK because the king got married or something. And I went out with my daughter for the first time to one of these sort of inflatable kids things. Not for inflatable kids. It's like a kids thing with inflatables in it. And I thought it was going to be like a bouncy castle. But imagine a bouncy castle if it was also Funhouse and it was in an enormous warehouse and adults were allowed in as well. It was amazing.
Sounds
I
like sort
kind of
thing.
Genuinely I sometimes forgot that I was supposed to be looking after my daughter because I was just bouncing around things and jumping off things. It was brilliant.
Sounds like the sort of thing that Terry would do and queue for hours to go to.
Yeah.
It was. I'd imagine it would probably cost like €25 to get in at Berghain or something like that, but you'd have to be mashed. But it was brilliant. I had a great time launching off things. I can't even remember what it was called, but did all that. Kids went crazy, and then we had ice cream. It was brilliant. What a day out.
And beside him is a man who doesn't want today to happen. It is Terry Saunders.
I'm sad, Chica.
I'm sad too, Terry.
I'm accepting your
resignation,
leaving, but I'm yeah, but I'm sad. But also, I went, actually, Phil, to a daytime party last Monday for bank holiday that was exactly as you described, but less inflatable.
So nothing and like I described?
No, just well, just by my imagination of what you described, because I wasn't really paying attention. And I had the ignominy of being super cool and then super uncool in the space of 5 minutes, in that me and my friends were like, oh, this party's a bit shit. And then one of my friends was like, hey, I can get us guest list for this other party. And we're like, hey, you can get us all guest lists. Let's go on the party, because getting guest lists is always cool. And so this person gets five of us on the guest list for this other party. We go to this other party, which is just over the road from the first party. And we go in there and we have to get all our names checked off. And they're like, hey, yeah, come on in. You don't have to pay to get in anything. And we go in there and we are literally the only people in there. And I really was just thinking, I am cool, I am guest list. I just walked into parties in Berlin. That's how much I've made myself known in this city. And
I think you're still cool, Terry. You're not just exclusive, you're so exclusive.
Yeah.
Chica, why are you fucking leaving?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Terry. So to explain, why am I fucking leaving? Well, we have been doing this podcast for 8 years, is that right?
Yeah.
8 years. And it's been the hardest 8 years of my life.
Hang on, is that a coincidence?
I love doing this podcast, but all of a sudden, having quite a lot to do with a baby, and it's just, and mainly actually because F1 have decided to make us have so many races a year, it means we can't do,
yes,
you know, like, oh, a lovely every 3 week podcast. So I blame it entirely on them. But basically,
yes, Liberty Media's fault.
It is, exactly. And it makes me so sad because I love hanging out with you guys and chatting, mm-hmm, and being told off by Matt.
It's a shame that we won't be able to do that anymore. Because, you know, once you leave, it's like
you're
Scientology.
Out.
You're going to have to make a documentary about us whilst we send men to intimidate you. Like Scientology.
To Listener's Corner, which for the second year running is decorated with fake water and some boats because nothing is real anymore. But first things first, worst race of the year, you have views. Jarman McClough says, not even 7 hours of drinking made that one bearable. And if you're going to introduce drivers like that, I fully expect a Royal Rumble at the end of it to set the grid. Maybe that could be the next sprint format. But Will Bowen says, I was expecting another shit show like last year, but I was pleasantly surprised by that race. Amazing what happens when cars qualify out of position. How long before someone mentions reverse grid again?
Reverse grid.
No, there you go, that long. How can it be set up so well? And then like 45 minutes in, I find I'm looking at my phone and my mind's wandering and I'm just like, why is this boring? Verstappen starting in ninth and charging through. The grid's all over the place. Why? Why is it so boring?
It was so boring. And like, all the drivers finish, which is never a good sign, because there was no safety cars. No, there wasn't even a yellow flag.
Yeah, couldn't believe that. I was sure there was going to be a safety car.
And Max Verstappen's car advantage is so ridiculous.
And let's be honest, talent advantage in that car.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. He's very good. And, you know, I will say now he is doing very fucking well. But I keep seeing a lot of Max Verstappen fans on Twitter saying things like, oh, I didn't see you complaining when Mercedes were dominating. And the thing is, we were.
Did.
It was boring. It was really fucking boring when they dominated. And now it's boring again. And I thought these new rules were supposed to bring all the cars closer together, not give one team a stupid advantage.
Well, they've brought all the other cars together, just not the Red Bulls.
Just not Verstappen. I still hope they're cheating. And
History suggests they probably are. Hashtag,
yeah, something going on.
Legally, not really.
I don't understand how they can be so much quicker. And that's not a Max Verstappen thing, because he is a really good driver. But it seems like all the other teams are having problems except them. It's like they've just kind of put out the oil slick behind them, and everyone's going, "Whoa, I can't walk up," and it's just it's so dull.
Somebody we haven't read out their thing because it wasn't important enough, but I did read something that says this has been a lousy season. I seem to remember that actually the first few races were all right, and then last race and this race were rubbish. Am I imagining that, or were the first three races actually okay?
Well, they were okay in that there was a bit of excitement in that Alonso was on the podium. That was a novelty, and now he's on every podium.
Is it, yeah, is it the novelty wearing off? Mm. Is it becoming the new Ham Verbot?
Yeah, I think it's just... It's fine. It just feels like all of the teams are fucking up, which isn't fun. Mm. It's fun when a couple of teams fuck up, but like McLaren are at the bottom, Haas aren't doing very well.
Aston are doing well, but they started from a position of terribleness.
Yeah. AlphaTauri is shit. Alpine have gone nowhere. Aston Martin are good. Mercedes and Ferrari are immeasurably shit down in their own way. It's just like all the teams are going down, which is probably why there's such a big gap to Red Bull. It's not just that Red Bull have made the best car and they've got the best driver, which I think they have in both cases, but they've also done it in a year when everyone else is standing on their own feet.
It's an interesting point that the whole point about Verstappen being the best driver was not... Previously, I'd put Hamilton and Verstappen pretty much side by side with Hamilton ahead because he's got the experience, but I'm wondering now. Is his day yeah, past?
Well, I believe that Lewis Hamilton, if he has a championship winning car again, he'll be able to be back. I just don't think he brings his A game when he doesn't have to.
Well, you think if he hasn't got everything he needs, he can't be bothered. We do sometimes see that, don't we? In his radio messages going, "Guys, come on, we should retire. I'm not first."
Yeah. Like when you're a seven-time world champion and they say, you know, you might finish sixth today, yes, as a driver, he should be going for the most blah, blah, blah. Oh, fuck it. I mean, I can't be asked to walk to the shop.
Hmm. I'll go and chat to LL Cool J. Oh. And whoever else was there.
Will, I ain't.
So William, you can understand that then, can't you?
But I do. But Dad, I think the question is, is Max Verstappen at his height as good as Lewis Hamilton at his height? And I don't think he is. I think you're probably right, because obviously Max Verstappen is younger and he's in his prime. But we've never, apart from those couple of laps in Abu Dhabi, which wasn't really kind of realistic, we've not really seen them in kind of going fairly wheel to... I suppose 2020, though, 21, there was a few moments.
All we need is a solid 4 or 5 seasons of them being absolutely close until the last race of the season. That's all we ask.
Well, I think it's one of those teams that you know how the 1970s didn't really end on the December 31st, 1979, because if you see something from the early 80s, it can look quite 70s, because it's not like on the day everyone went, right, we're dressing different now because it's the 80s. And big eras in drivers in Formula 1 never quite pass cleanly. Like, I still get surprised that Schumacher raced Senna, because it doesn't feel like they were in the same time zone.
Mm.
And it's been a bit unfair that it's gone from Mercedes domination to a year where they were a little bit even to now Red Bull domination. It's just, it doesn't quite feel fair. There's not been a few years of having them battle it out like a big rival.
That's always been the way, though, hasn't it? It's the trouble.
That's
with
what
the regulation
my point
changes.
Is. That's my point.
Yeah. Yeah. We're yearning for a reality that's never existed.
Oh, that's... We're becoming boomers, Phil.
Oh, God.
You with all your houses.
so many.
I live in a rented city.
You've got your own city? Rented or otherwise, that's pretty
God's
impressive.
For God's sake.
No, I haven't bought it.
And I can get into any party on my own.
Just kids' birthday parties. So, in other news, we need to talk about these driver intros. So, after being roundly derided in the first new US race in Austin a few years ago, they were back in Miami with LL Cool J announcing the grid walkouts. Also, Will.i.am was there for some reason. Apparently, this kind of thing is going to be rolled out again soon. Trouble is, lots of the drivers don't like it. Do we?
My take would be that I'm not necessarily averse to something. And I think I pretty much said this at the first year in Austin. I just don't want it to be shit. And this was shit. It was better than the one in Austin when nobody seemed to know what they were doing. This time they did seem to know what they were doing. It just wasn't very good and none of the drivers were into it.
Okay, I disagree strongly that they seem to know what they were doing, because if you...
relatively.
Formula One YouTube channel have released the whole 7-minute intro as its own video, and I think they should probably take it down, because if you watch it out of context, yeah, it's laughably bad.
Oh, yeah.
So, for one, they've got... there's something like, it obviously costs a lot of money to get big banners made and big metal signs put up, and obviously they've got to move them out of the way pretty quickly, so they've got to be lightweight because there's a race about to start. But no matter how fancy you dress orchestra people up in suits, when they're sitting on fold-out chairs on a tarmac in front of like a wavy banner, it looks it just looks shit. And then they had this weird tunnel way for them to walk through, which again is just like fabric covering some metal, and they had clearly 4 dry ice nozzles, but only 3 were working, which is very embarrassing. Then they bring them out, and the first guy out is Logan Sargeant, who says something in the microphone about America. And then the next driver, no one says anything until we get to like Max Verstappen. And he's there going, well, did Logan Sargeant say something when he wasn't supposed to? Were all the drivers supposed to, but they chose not to because they hate the idea and they're moody little bitches about it? Did something go wrong with the microphone? And then the other thing was, you couldn't hear the crowd noise until occasionally they made the mix better so you could hear the crowd cheering. But for most of the time, it was just this kind of painful silence of, here's the next driver. And all the drivers coming out in their stupid little ice bibs, which makes them look...
Ice bibs. They were packing cocaine.
Oh, I wish it was packing coke. Because they all come out... And all the teams have designed their own fucking bibs, and it's just, what the fuck is this stupid fucking sport? Go on Amazon, buy 20 ice bibs and give them to all the drivers. Oh no, oh, McLaren have got one, but it's got wavy stripes, but Verstappen, yeah, looks like Coke bags. It's just, the whole thing was ridiculous. The whole thing was stupid. And what made it totally worse is the drivers were all acting like petulant children who didn't want to be there, and like they were totally, they're like a small boy at a christening who's been made to wear a suit and go up and walk to the front, and he's having a tantrum about it.
How were they supposed to act?
Yeah, they don't want to be there. They're trying to get ready for a Grand Prix.
Contractually, they have to be there. It was awkward. All they had to do was walk through with a smile and wave, and they're all just there going, yeah, whatever, with my stupid sunglasses, and oh, I'm moody about this. And then they'll get to their friends, the other drivers, and you'll see them make a little comment like, this is shit, isn't it? Oh, fuck, don't be here.
They should have done that on mic.
Logan Sargeant! This is shit, isn't it?
You cannot slag it off like that and then say, oh, yeah, but they look like they weren't having fun.
No, they weren't having fun. I'm not asking them to have fun. I'm asking them to fulfill their contractual obligation and not look fucking miserable about it.
So it's contractually obligated fun.
Yeah. Which is sponsor events.
So I read a couple of interviews with some of the drivers afterwards, and they basically confirmed that most of them didn't want to do it and were like, we've got enough stuff to do. I wouldn't be averse to them getting rid of something else from the weekend, because they do have to do a lot of stuff these days in the sort of the whole run-up to the race. And maybe they do it before qualifying, or they do it where it's just a little bit, or they do it earlier and replay a pre-recorded version. Because let's be honest, it wouldn't make any difference as long as there's some crowd there. Like, they could do it at Friday practice and play it out. It'd be fine. The only people that would know that it isn't happening then would be at the track, and, you know, they're not that many people compared to who watches worldwide.
I want the drivers to be rattled when they get in the car. Oh, I want them to be grumpy.
So you want them to up it? So that you want them to literally climb into their car and be separated from everyone?
No, I want them to have to walk through and then get in the car and then have like Will I Am music playing at them, saying this is the formula. And this race was boring because no one made a mistake. So let's just say they all got into the car and they were all fucking furious.
Just completely frazzled and angry. I think maybe it's something else. Maybe instead of coming out the tunnel and standing around, they have to come out the tunnel, get into the car, and then as soon as the last person is out, that's the formation lap, straight into it. No time to recover.
Exactly. Right. And also, I want to put a stop to these stupid ice bibs. Now, they were talking about banning tyre warmers for next year. I think they should change this rule to be, you're allowed tyre warmers or ice bibs, but you've got to have the same on tyre and body. So you can either have a heater on both or ice on both. You can't mix and match.
Interesting.
So if you want warm tyres, you've got to be really cozy in that cockpit.
You want, and if you want, no, if driver,
it's a hot
chillers
race, then you've got to have ice cold tyres.
tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake or email us at wrong@ff1s.com. Alternatively, though, if you think we are right, then why not buy us a beer? It has always been really, truly appreciated. So today we thank Bryce Davis, who says, use this donation to send Chica off with something special, maybe a porn subscription in memory of the view from her old apartment. Yeah!
I'd forgotten about that.
So I used to live in a flat that was directly opposite a another flat that was a porn studio, so they used to film porn in
there. Of course, because that's how we met, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I saw Terry and I thought, that is talent there.
That guy knows something about Formula One, I can just tell.
Yeah, it's very aerodynamic.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Monaco tunnel right now. By which I mean it's only used once a year.
And it's really boring.
And there's no overtaking. Thanks, Bryce.
Thank you, Bryce.
And a huge thanks to our monthly donors keeping us in beer long time. Today we celebrate Michael Perry.
Yay.
Greg Hoffman.
Hoffman.
Yay.
Marble 127.
Yay.
Oh, no, Donald 77, Griffin. That was a terrorist attack.
Yay.
Enough.
Griffin.
Have we done Donald Griffin? Christopher Beck.
Yeah, do him again. Yeah, Christopher Beck. Yay.
And Keith Russell.
Yay.
Join them all. Head to ff1s.com/pint.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That's great. Starts with a dull race, pits and penalties and cars, and Alonso is not afraid. Grand Prix Circus, listen to Martin Brundle. Everyone serves its own needs. Pay the money to see this peanut factory. Vodka Jenny, pute regret, sewage in the bath. Team by team, reporters baffle Trump, tethered cropped. Look at that slow go kart fight then. Overflow, pronunciation, foreign names, but it'll do. Re-record your headphones unplugged in. Nor's your mic or your laptop, and you haven't watched that race. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel quite sad, actually.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Okay, Chica, throughout the teams, we are going to be auditioning a few listeners to replace you. So this first message is from Matt Bryant.
Red Bull! Red Bull got us all excited on Saturday by having Verstappen qualify ninth, before dashing our hopes of a good race with a straightforward march through the field until he reached his teammate. Surely the local favourite Perez wouldn't let Max through without a fight? Would this be another Red Bull battle like Vettel versus Weber in Turkey? Oh no, he made it less interesting than LL Cool J reading out driver intros. Chica, just had to get in touch and say how much I've enjoyed you keeping the boys in checker, do you see what I did there, and your occasional swears on the pod over the years. But your legacy is whenever I hear a roundup of a Wraith, whether it's on the pod or elsewhere, I'll always imagine you shouting out the team name. Ferrari, AlphaTauri, Leighton House. Okay, it's not been going that long. Very best of luck with all your future adventures, Chica. The pod won't be the same without you, but hopefully you'll be back for the occasional guest appearance.
Lovely voice. Definitely have him on.
Yeah, I don't think you get to approve your replacement.
Sorry.
I mean, fancying that voice. Is that what just happened?
That's a voice crush. And what? gorgeous.
You know, wow. Me and Phil have got voices. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm leaving.
Should we talk about the race then, as Matt concisely mentioned? I mean, we've touched on it already. It should have been fun. And it was also an absolutely prime opportunity for Sergio Perez to take the lead in the championship and show that mm-hmm. he's got what it takes to stick it to Max Verstappen. Did he fuck it up, or is just Verstappen just too good?
I think Verstappen's just lot better.
I mean, he is.
You know,
I mean, we all knew
he didn't. Perez didn't do any big cock ups. There's nothing that was, you know.
He just kept really getting reeled in, didn't he?
Yeah.
But there was that weird thing, if you were listening to the Sky coverage, there was a weird thing that Karine Chandot was talking about listening. No, it was Anthony Davidson, wasn't it? Listening to all the radio messages saying that they've been telling Verstappen every lap, you've got 3 seconds on him, you've got 2 seconds on him, you've got 1 second on him. And then they weren't telling Perez anything. And then suddenly Verstappen just appears in his mirror.
By the way, Verstappen's behind you. Yeah. Yeah, that's... Should we start some conspiracies?
Well, it's not. I don't think it's not much a conspiracy, but I mean, obviously, Verstappen is the number one driver at Red Bull. Obviously, they're backing Verstappen. Obviously, Perez was signed because he would be a good team player to Verstappen. So if he starts to get out of his comfort zone, whatever, out of his box, there's a word I'm looking for, then he needs to be put back in his place because he's there to support Verstappen. But when they've got such a dominant car, it does feel a little bit like... Just, I hope they let them race. Obviously, they did ask Christian Horner about this, and he was like, no, we told Perez, like, twice.
Yeah. I mean, you probably weren't listening.
Well, it was weird, because his excuse was really weird, because they said, so they kept saying to Verstappen, okay, it's alpha time minus 1.2 seconds. You know, it was all kind of space age stuff. And with Perez, they were just saying other numbers. And Horner's excuse was like, well, Perez just had to take one number from the other and he'd work out how close Verstappen was. And I'm like,
he's driving a Formula One car. He shouldn't have to do maths.
Why are you making him do maths? He's not Alonso watching 17 screens at once. But
it's just give him riddles.
Yeah. My P is in your...
What? Where's this going?
I don't know. sorry, I didn't want to ruin the leaving present. And I don't know. I hope that they're giving them a fair fight, even though Verstappen's clearly going to walk it. I just think it's the fact that because Verstappen's clearly going to walk over Perez this year anyway, you just hope they're being fair enough to Perez to let him get beaten fair and square.
Yeah, I hope so. After the last race, I dared to hope that maybe, despite all our expectations and all available evidence from many years, maybe this was when Perez put it all together and could actually surprise us, but that hope is gone.
Yeah.
How many races left?
7,000.
God.
Okay, all right, so for old time's sake, I will do one. Ready? Aston Martin! Alonso had another... Yeah. Cracking race, marred only by his cringeworthy brown nosing of the Stroll family. How long will this charm offensive last?
Until things start going wrong. Because it's been just like, I hate it. I hate it. He's driving so well, and it's just like the most sycophantic, bootlicky kind of like, oh, Mr. Stroll, are those your flowers I can smell from your garden as I drive past? They're so nice.
But also, and I want to really moan about the Sky coverage this weekend, because they went into this kind of after last week when they were just talking about fucking Taylor Swift songs endlessly, and now this week they had a good like couple of minutes kind of trying to work out exactly when Alonso would have seen the big screen by working out where he was on the track compared to the Stroll, without realizing that obviously he was watching a replay on the big screen. He wasn't watching it live. He didn't look up live to see the overtake. They replayed it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, it's not like they'd be focusing on Stroll in 12th anyway, would they?
Exactly. And it just pissed me off that the F1 Sky team couldn't work out that very simple
fact. Why can't they be professionals like us?
Because actually, you know, I think it's probably quite easy to look at a big screen when you're Fernando Alonso. Well, I do it on the Formula One game all the time.
This sounds like
I've played it for years.
Yeah, and also you're playing on the big screen. Oh, you mean in the screen in the game, not you're just looking at your
telly. The in-game screen. It gets quite meta.
Right. I mean, Alonso's having a cracking season. I don't think the car's ever going to be good enough for him to win unless the rebels crash into each other or explode.
Yeah, what he needs the kind of multi-21, like you know, it didn't feel like it would happen yesterday, but there was a slight moment where, you know, Verstappen's coming up, Perez feels he's not been told, would he get in the way, bang, Alonso wins the race, but obviously didn't happen. But I reckon it's not an inconceivable odds that will happen this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before at Red Bull. Twice. Is it Vettel, Webber? Yeah. Ricardo, Verstappen, was it?
Yep.
Probably some others back in the day when it wasn't important.
And Alonso will be there waiting.
With a quip and a cocky smile. But the fact that he was on the radio going, oh, so that overtake by Lance. Oh, it was so good. What a great overtake, Lance. Yeah, you're in third watching telly as you drive and Lance just overtook somebody for 12th in the same car. Like, you're not fooling anyone. He's there's such a gulf in class between them.
Do you know what I'd really love?
For what would you love, Terry?
There to be a race that Aston Martin wins and Lance Stroll wins it. Like just through some like crazy rain.
Well, like the McLaren one where Ricardo won it and Norris didn't.
Yeah, like some kind of safety car weird shit where, you know, Alonso's like third again and Lance is in the lead. That's when he'll crack. That's when he'll stop being like, oh, God, you're amazing. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
What do you think he'll say? Will he go after Lance? Will he go after the team? Will he go after the boss? Will he go after the engine? What do you think he'll go?
All at once, he will just
just explode.
He will just like, his face will start shaking and he'll just be like, I hate everything. Taylor Swift wouldn't let me get to second base.
God, it's the worst
by a PR company. I didn't even get to finger her. Harry. Hey, that's not me, Chica. That's what Alonso's thinking.
It's going to take me ages to shake that off.
Phil, what did we talk about last week? No.
It's the only song I know.
Me too.
Mercedes! The Mercedes is not very good and showing no signs of getting better, but at least the drivers gave it a good go. George Russell even stopped security from beating the shit out of Jackie Stewart, or was it the other way around?
I think those security guards should be pretty lucky that Jackie Stewart didn't start wailing on him.
I think they should have beaten the shit out of him.
he's fucking hard, Jackie Stewart, and he's connected.
Oh, of course he's connected. They're all at the bottom of the Miami sound.
Yeah, they're sound machine. They're just there because they're mates with Gloria Estefan. But yeah, Stewart. And let's not forget that Jackie Stewart's pretty handy with a gun. Because his original... Yeah, before he was a Formula One driver, he was a very good competitive shooter. With like shotguns and shit. I think he was maybe international. I want to say Olympics, but I might have made that up.
He does seem like the sort that would come to your house with a sawn-off shotgun in the night and just be like, we're being sponsored by Royal Bank of Scotland. All right, laddie?
I so love your Scottish accent. It's so good.
No, Jackie Stewart's more high-pitched. We're being sponsored by the Royal Bank of Scotland. Aye. The Queen did a job. The King did a job.
Are you channeling Billy Connolly to do that?
Yeah.
The only Scottish person I know.
Anyway, Mercedes. They
came one and two in Friday practice one.
Yeah, that was setting lofty heights that they would never hit with it, wasn't it?
They knew that though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
You say that. They don't seem to know anything right now.
they seem to know that they're not doing it properly, but they don't know what properly is, or if they can do it with their car.
What do you think about the upgrade? Because I'm listening to next week, the Imola one.
Yeah, they've got these big upgrades coming.
But listening to an interview with Toto Wolff, he sounded like he was in no way optimistic about this. He was like,
it kind of feels like they said all last year, no, it's not the side pods, we've got these other problems, we fix them, and they've come here this year and gone, oh, it turns out it was the side pods, and actually that's a big change, so actually anything we do to the car this year is going to be shit. And
yeah, the side pods do a lot of things, don't they?
And we've now fired someone or given him a better job because that's how it works in Mercedes. It's a no blame culture. If someone fucks up, you give them a better job. And
yeah, Toto Wolff is absolutely useless at everything. That's how he got to where he is today.
And it just feels like they don't... You know when teams kind of poach a lot of staff from different teams? I don't know if this did happen, but it feels like they've poached all of the bad luck Ferrari staff. Because this year, Mercedes is quite Ferrari-like, isn't it? It's just kind
of... Yeah, our new head of aerodynamics, Mattia Binotto.
Yeah.
Here's Marco Mattiacci to do strategy.
Here's our new SciPod designer, this half-open bottle of wine.
Some beautiful handmade pasta. Is Lewis's race engineer. I actually missed the news that they had upgrades coming for Imola, but that would be interesting because... And it's also interesting that they are they deliberately going, we're not sure, and then actually it's going to be brilliant, but they just don't want to announce it. Because it slightly reminds me, in the UK we've just had local elections where the Conservative Party beforehand said, oh, we might lose 1,000 seats because we're not very popular. And it turns out they actually said that because they wanted to set expectations that when the results came in and it wasn't 1,000 seats, they go, it's not too bad, actually. Then they lost way more than 1,000 seats. So my concern is that Mercedes has said, we don't think it's going to be that good, and then it's going to be absolutely catastrophic and even worse than before.
Yeah, well, judging from their demeanour, it's sounding like it's going to be catastrophic.
Good.
Well, which is what you need.
I mean, that livens it up, doesn't it?
McLaren have got big updates coming too.
Oh, God. I mean, everything they've done, we'll get to them in a bit, but everything they've done has turned to shit, so let's see what happens.
Time for another audition.
Ferrari. Ferrari had another race to forget after Sainz was awarded a 5-second penalty for forgetting that there's a speed limit in the pit lane, whilst Leclerc made a valiant recovery after his accident in qualifying to take him from 7th to 7th. Chica, I've only listened to the podcast for just about 2 years, and you were gone for half of that, but you'll still be dearly missed, especially because you don't put up with any of their bullshit.
That is the level of tribute we like.
I've listened to it for a bit, and you're only there half. Yeah. Yeah, oh, thanks, Ben.
Yeah, I think I remember you. Were you the fourth one? But yeah, good luck to you.
I like it because you're the bossy one that we hear every now and again. Well, thanks, Ben. Appreciate that. You did that well.
But notably, she didn't have a crush on your voice, Ben. How does it feel? I missed the whole sign thing. I didn't really get what happened, but I guess it was just a slam dunk pit lane.
Hey, you just came into it. It was Ferrari doing Ferrari things. They've not done that many Ferrari things this year. They've just not been that close to Red Bull. But now they're starting to do Ferrari things. Leclerc's crashed a bit. Sainz forgot to stay under the speed limit. It's only a matter of time before they start doing ridiculous strategy calls. They're falling back into their old ways. Fred Vasseur needs to get on this. He needs to fire some more people and then not have them actually leave yet, as is my understanding of what's going on.
Well, Leclerc crashed in qualifying and then just looked a bit ordinary in the race.
Yeah,
I've got to go back to that LL Cool J line where he competed for the championship in 2022.
I mean, get over it. That's just the default starting point for every single driver, isn't it? Yeah, like, apart from the rookies, all of them did that.
And what kind of things does it say?
Who owns a helmet?
But just to say that he competed, which means he wasn't even that close.
Well, he entered. That's like saying, that's what you're saying.
He turned up for work.
Yeah, he was quiet quitting in the Ferrari last year.
A man we've all seen.
And some of us can remember his name. That guy.
That your friend there. And mine. It's just bang average from Ferrari. I don't know. Time to start focusing on 2026.
Okay, back over to me. Alpine. Alpine's CEO gave the team a jolly good rollicking ahead of the race, calling their performance disappointing and bad, and basically saying they were a bunch of useless, lazy fuckheads who he was probably going to fire. Our paraphrasing. But Gasly and Ocon took heed and spent the whole...
Heed?
I read that as head.
Maybe that's why they were so good.
Yeah. Oh, so hang on. So yeah, if they took head, that means they were sucked. So it doesn't seem like they have to suck the bot. Is the boss sucking them? Is the boss bollocking them and sucking them up? Or are they just getting some lackey to suck them up?
FF1S asking the real questions.
Well, if you know who sucked Gasly and or maybe he made them suck each other's cocks. And now they're friends. Tony Difford. Wrong at every one of sitcom.
But Gazi and Ocon took heed.
Oh.
That's what they call it in Scotland.
And grow up. And that was to myself. And spend
hey, Jackie Stewart.
Jackie Stewart took heed.
And spend the whole race battling Ferrari and Mercedes. Maybe what everyone needs in F1 is just a damn good talking to.
Did I go or did you go? I've lost you all.
This was quite unusual. Did you see the... obviously, I think it was in French, so I didn't see the actual interview, but I read transcriptions of the interview with the CEO, whose name I temporarily forget. Lauren Rossi,
Lauren
is that him?
I think he's the CEO. Lauren DeRossi.
And it was quite extraordinary. He properly laid into them, saying they're not trying hard enough and, like, we're going to have to make some changes maybe before the end of the season if things don't... Basically saying to Schaffnauer and the whole team, if you don't pull your shit together, I'm going to fire the lot of you.
Which, as we know in Formula One, really works really well.
Yeah, which probably means they're already fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it's the latest in the Alpine-Renault story, isn't it?
Because where are we on their 5.5-year plan to get back to winning the championship?
They still reckon they're going to win the championship by 2013.
Well,
no.
That'll only happen if a nuclear bomb goes
off
everywhere in Enstone.
In that they still think they're still hanging on to a plan from 10 years ago. It's a joke. It didn't work.
Wrong at FF1S.
It's audition time once again, and this review is from Dawn Unicek.
Haas, 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 Haas. K-Mag made it to Q3 and then to P4 for the start. Everyone was amazed, and I was so happy for them. He hasn't started that high in a position since 2014, I think. My favorite moment is Magnussen landing in 10th for the point. I've got to admit, it's really nice when the underdog wins. And on home soil, no less. In my mind's eye, I can see Gunther jumping up and down, all happy. And Ralf Schumacher gritting his teeth like some 1920s villain with a weird mustache.
And also, because of technology, Dawn has added, in words, not voice, a little thing about Chica. And she says, Chica, I'll miss the way you herded the boys, that's us, and kind of kept them in line without stifling them. Laughing at crass jokes, yet admonishing lightly without putting anyone down. That takes a real skill to do that on a regular basis. And all while remaining absolutely quick-witted and even quicker to giggle. I will miss you a great deal, as I'm sure will most listeners.
Oh, most listeners.
Oh, Dawn. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Oh.
I would say I don't like tolerate you very much.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Well, Dawn, that's just, a bit.
No, we all know it.
I don't think our jokes are crass.
They're awful.
But imagine the Ocon.
Some of them. I just made a full-on joke about head.
there's a reason that we don't do many live shows.
We were in our market podcast talking about LPs sucking each other off. Yeah. I just don't know what you're talking about.
And that's the stuff that we can put out. The stuff that ends up on the cutting room floor, in fairness.
Oh, what? When I talk about Michael Schumacher.
yes, like that. Exactly like that. Well, thank you, Dawn. And another succinct rundown of Haas. I'd actually forgotten, because she made the point that they got a point in their home race, I'd forgotten that Haas were American. They're based in Oxfordshire or Cambridgeshire or somewhere like that.
Yeah,
pretty much. And I mean, they've got an empty factory in North Carolina, but
Magnussen was like up there in qualifying, which I didn't really understand.
Really good.
And then, well, qualified like fourth.
I think he'd done well, and obviously it was all over the place because of the timing of when the track was getting better and Leclerc crashing and lots of people not getting to the second lap. So blah 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 blah. So sort of part good and a little bit of luck. But, you know, a large part of him... We've seen it before. Magnussen, when he decides to be good, is really good. He's just not really good very often. It's another one of, you know, his sort of like, well, Magnussen's just decidedly average and he'll probably get the boot. But then he just does a couple of things that are good enough to bring him back, much like Hülkenberg. They are the team of drivers like that. Magnussen is the Nico Hülkenberg of Haas. Something.
AlphaTauri. Nick De Vries outqualified Yuki Tsunoda for the first time this year, but then had a calamitous start to the race when he piled into the back of Lando Norris. Tsunoda nearly got points. De Vries ended up nearly last. Does the clock already tick for Nick?
Ooh.
quality writing.
I think it's tocked.
Has it?
I think he's
you
done.
I think he's absolutely tocked.
I think he's gone. I also, again, going back
is
to
he
the...
Just, is he just... does he just have the contract for one season?
I think so. I
It'd
don't know.
It'd have to be
I'm
insane
saying yes,
to do it longer, surely.
But also, he was the worst driver by far of all the ones to come out on that introduction thing. Because again, if you watch it back, he's like... I'm not saying he's the shortest driver, but he looks the shortest.
He looks shorter than
like
Tsunoda.
His body's... Yeah, like his body is kind of out of proportion somehow. And he looked like he was shitting himself. And maybe he had just shat himself, I'm not sure. But he just looks like he'd fucking shat himself. And I was just like, this isn't a Formula One world champion. This is Nick De Vries, mate.
Isn't he Formula E champion? Did I imagine that?
Oh, like that.
That's a world championship. It's a proper world championship.
Anyone
under the FIA.
You become a Formula E world champion by being shit at life.
How did he look like he was shitting himself?
Like he was walking funny. Like Chica, I don't know if you ever have shat yourself, but let me give you a lesson. When you have shat yourself, it often feels worse than it is, but because the shit kind of lubricates the cheeks, you've got to walk with kind of very tiny steps because you don't want it to start to spread beyond the pants and down the leg. And he looked like he was about to hit the upper thigh of his own feces, fecal matter. Does that explain it? Help
that
you out?
That's more entertaining than the Miami Grand Prix.
Terry shitting himself.
That explains a lot of...
Did I ever tell you guys a story of when I fainted at Bond Street Station and shat myself?
No, but
okay,
do
well,
tell.
Instead of AlphaTauri, let me tell you. So it was when I had a period of fainting like 15 years ago or something. And I was coming up the escalator from Bond Street in the morning and I felt faint and I thought I can get to my office because I was working quite nearby. But spoiler alert, I didn't get to the office and I fainted on the escalator and I woke up and there was like blood all over my face. I'd actually, I'd probably passed out and they took me to a back room and they sat me on a chair being like, we're going to call an ambulance because we're really worried about you. And when I was sat on the chair, I realised that I'd also shat myself. And they were like, and I didn't know what to, and I was so embarrassed. And I was kind of in shock as well, because like, I've just woken up in the back room of a tube station and I'm a bit scared.
It wasn't nearly
so
as sexy as you thought
I said,
it would be.
Exactly. So I said, I said, can I go to the toilet? And they take me to a special kind of staff toilet where I inspected the damage, and it was quite bad. And so I took my pants off, wrapped them in that kind of blue paper, that kind of industrial blue paper that's like the stuff, and I wrapped them up. And there was nowhere to put them, so I just put them in the bin. Because they were too much to flush.
You're not going
to flush them, are you?
Flush
them home, can you?
And I couldn't take them with me. But so these kindly people who worked at the station were just like, oh, we helped that guy get an ambulance. And he's left shit in the bin. And then I got in the ambulance and I always felt a bit weird going through Bond Street after that. I was glad when they shut it for a while.
You always go in disguise.
So there you go. So I know what it's like to shit myself.
And now you know what it's like to drive for AlphaTauri.
Exactly.
You know exactly how Nick De Vries feels.
Okay, Williams, we're going to play in another voice note review. This is from Charles Moussard.
Williams. Well, Serena and Venus turned up, which is more than could be said of the team. Albon started 11th, went backwards to finish 14th. Sargent started 20th, went forwards into De Vries, lost his wing, finished 20th. Thank you so much, Chica, for all the years of keeping the boys in line. We won't mention Terry's Frank Williams monologue. Good luck in all that you do. You'll be missed.
Oh, thank you very much, Charles.
Yeah.
That's the kind of. That's the kind of.
Like that I'm going to be remembered as like a sort of disciplinarian.
Yeah, I like that tribute the best because
boys in line.
I like that tribute best because it mentioned me by name.
They've noticed you.
Yeah.
Oh, it was nice, and also good Williams interplay there. Very nice. I didn't actually see the Williams sisters, but I mean, there were tons of celebs there, weren't there? So I presume they were doing, were they doing anything? Did they? Was it last year that one of the Williams sisters and Martin Brundle had a bit of a contretemps, or did I imagine that?
When you say contretemps, do you mean
sex? I don't mean sex, no.
Oh, okay.
And well, unless you know something I don't.
Well, let's just say he hugged that Williams sister like his favourite granny.
What are you saying he does to his favourite granny?
Drives it hard like a bitch. Oh, gets his marbles out.
God.
What does that mean? She's graining. Oh,
no.
Box, box. We have got to get another female host or we are fucked.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, Williams. Albon's good. They've got a not great car. Sargent is terminally disappointing, I'm afraid. I did have some hopes for him because I remember being mildly impressed by him in a couple of the junior formula races I'd watched over the last couple of years. But he's not... I don't know if he's just not ready or he's not good enough, but he's not doing great.
I would like to know, actually, what it's like to be put into Formula One and just to drive a really shit car. Like, can you... I mean, because when you're new to Formula One and when you're a rookie, it's like you can't even just be like, oh, I've got to get used to a shit car this year. It's like you've got to learn everything in this slightly shit way that must be nothing like anything you've ever driven before.
Well...
And it must be so weird being in Formula One but driving a piece of shit.
My expectation, having never driven a Formula One car, is that it would be a ludicrously quick car that's... I mean, some of them I think feel all right and are just shit slow. Some of them feel like a big bucket of bolts and are really hard to drive. I think it depends which team you're in. But I'd imagine generally there's a sort of an element of this is a good opportunity to learn because there's no expectations on me whatsoever. And your only kind of pressure would be against your teammate, I would think.
True.
But equally, it could be just like, well, I've got no fucking chance. It must be so hard to try and seem good and get a promotion. If you're in a shit car, like if you're never doing better than like 17th. If you've been in a shit Formula One car, let us know.
Well, George Russell did it.
This is it. And there's the argument now that George Russell has learned a lot through failure. You know, the failure of the team around him, in that he's learned to make the best out of a not great situation. Whereas Hamilton, by and large, has been blessed with really good machinery and knows how to extract the absolute best out of it, which maybe Russell doesn't. But Russell does know, you know, how to get the best out of a shitbox. Whereas maybe Hamilton perhaps doesn't, because he's just so used to everything being... You know, he's got the natural talent to be able to drive anything, but he's not in a comfortable place, you know, not having absolute tip-top everything.
No, I guess it's a skill set to be a champion. You've got to be able to drive the best car, which, you know...
Yeah, and you've got to be able to get the car better as well, which I guess George could also probably
do. It's like Perez, you know, Perez and Verstappen are in most likely the same car. and Verstappen's better.
Yeah.
McLaren are a team who are shite and then look like they were getting good again and then even won a race, but now they're shit and it's not looking good. How long before Lando Norris leaves?
He's already left.
You think he's checked out? I meant to look up before the start of the race literally anywhere else.
He'll go to Audi. I think he will definitely be unless something big changes in the next couple of years, which makes this speculation totally pointless because anything can happen. But
and usually
I
does.
Think he'll be the big Audi star when Audi come into Formula
that
One.
That does seem to be the speculation, isn't it? That he will disappoint Valtteri Bottas by taking a seat.
Norris is tied to the team until the end of the 2025 campaign.
Oh, there we go then. But I mean, he's still quite young, isn't he? How old is he? He's, 22, 23, something like that? So he could afford to hang around in a shit car for a bit if he has to, if he's got the promise of a good seat after that.
Well, we all say this, but I don't think that's true, because
Charles Leclerc is being wasted at Ferrari. Carlos Sainz, can't remember his name. Lando Norris. There's all these drivers that... Because it's been the Hamilton and Verstappen show for the last 10 years, whatever, if you add it all together, even more. It's just kind of... There's no guarantee that they're going to get a good seat later. They need to be doing it now, and they haven't. So I don't want to... Lando Norris can't walk into Red Bull and be like, can I drive your car?
Yeah, there's no other options, really, in the next couple of years that I can see, unless there's an unexpected retirement. You know, if suddenly at the end of the season, Hamilton decides, I've had enough of this, and pulls a Rosberg and just decides, right, I'm off, then there's going to be an almighty bun fight. And I think then you're going to see drivers like Norris, maybe Albon... who else would be in this? If Hamilton jumped ship, who else would be in? I mean, maybe some of the top drivers from other teams, perhaps. Leclerc, maybe?
They get Charles Leclerc. Well, Mercedes have been not talking about Leclerc lately.
Oh, really?
So I think there is a bit of a...
They've been doing an Alonso going, oh, there was a great overtake there by Charlie Clark.
Well, there's been something like someone asked Toto Wolff if they've been in contact with Charles Leclerc, and he did that answer that something like, well, we're keeping an eye on him. I'm not saying that thing. The answer did not say, no, we have not been in contact. So
I didn't not contact him.
Yeah. I mean, he is a human being, and there are sound waves. I don't know if when I talk, he can hear, and vice versa.
I've just been walking through Monaco offering contracts. If he happened to walk past me...
Oh, what a coincidence to see you here in this
private members club.
No, I think it would be at the bottom floor of a car park, and they're in brown coats with lit by headlights, and that's when they suck each other off.
So he's going to Alpine.
No, it was all a ruse. There's no contract.
Oh, so it was Alpine then.
Good.
Also, Piastri was there. Yeah, I didn't notice Piastri until I realised that he came nowhere.
He was really nowhere. So I don't know what actually happened, but does it really matter? No. Like, it's not like a McLaren of last year where Lando Norris finished 7th and Ricciardo finished 19th. 17th and 19th is pretty piss poor.
Who's their boss now? Stella. He's got
Stella Artois.
Yes, Andrea Moda. I think we were going to call him, weren't we? He's unfortunately living up to the nickname we gave him of being shit. Well, actually, probably not his. I was going to say it's probably not his fault, but it is his fault because he's the team principal, so he needs to sort it out.
Well, and before he was team principal, he was like second in command, so it's not like he can go, oh, I don't know.
So it is all his fault.
Here? Totally him.
Okay.
Can't stand the guy.
Alfa Romeo. Another race, another week where we didn't notice Alfa apart from when Bottas got into Q3. But even then, not really.
I have a question.
Yes, Terry.
Where are Alfa Romeo from? The car brand.
Italy.
And where is Verona?
Italy.
So it should be Romeo and Juliet.
I mean, maybe.
That's a really
Romeo. Yeah, it could be. If you're Italian and you know how to pronounce it, let us know.
Wrong at ff1s.com.
Romeo. Thanks. Romeo e Giulietta. Romeo do make a car called the Giulietta.
I think it's because Alfa Romeo sounds like the phonetic alphabet.
Yeah, that's true.
Or it's Alfa Romeo sounds like some old guy with a moustache that would be at your local bar when you're a student, and he goes, oh, that's Alfa Romeo. Don't go near him.
He's very unreliable.
But he will buy you a drink.
And then he'll catch fire.
Suck his car.
He's so pretty.
Okay, we're doing three jokes at the same time there. That was quite efficient. I saw Valtteri Bottas on the LL Cool J bit, and I'm amazed he's sticking with the moustache and mullet look. I thought that was just a joke. He's actually got it as his hair. Yeah. Fuck him.
I mean, all I need to do is cut a bit off at the front, and I've basically got that look as well, so I'm not going to criticise him.
And obviously, with my sensible hair, I will never criticise another man's hair.
It's too close to home, because we're shit F1 drivers as well.
I would be really... I reckon I'd be about as shit as Valtteri Bottas if I was a Formula 1 driver.
There's a Channel 4 series,
obviously. I hate having hair on the back of my head. I couldn't have a mullet. I really hate...
I hate it not being really short.
On your neck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I meant. Not on the back of my head. That's weird, isn't it? Because there is hair there.
That's why you're not, that's why you're not a Shaolin monk.
Monk. Yeah.
No, I don't like it.
Okay. Well, I've learned something about you today.
Okay.
And once when I was getting my hair cut, I made a joke because they started shaving like my neck. And I was like, oh, you can go as far down as you like. Because the joke was, I've got a bit of a hairy back. And she took me on my word, and she was really reaching her arm down my t-shirt to a point that was...
She started squeezing your ass. It sounds like you're propositioning them. You can go down as far as you like.
Oh, yes. Shave me. Shave me, Daddy.
Shave me down to my buttocks.
As he runs his hands through the rug. All of which brings us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
I warn you now, they're both quite lackluster. So, in number one place is Max Verstappen with Miami Vice. In second place, You Only Live Twice. And third place, Stroll Overtake Was Nice. It's Fernando Alonso. In fourth place, Hawaii 5-0 is Lewis Hamilton. 5 seconds, oh no, it's Carlos Sainz. Nice overtake, tally-ho, says George Russell. In seventh place, Cagney and Lacey, not very pacey, is Lance Stroll. I'm feeling quite spacey, says Lando Norris. In tenth place, Columbo, says Pierre Gasly. I'm a slumbo, says Nico Hulkenberg. He's tired. I suck my thumb, oh... It says Espen Ocon. Oh, maybe he sucks something else, which I wrote before we had the joke about cock. 13th place, CSI. 14th is Piastri. And 15th place is YOY. That's Ogan Yu. 16th place is Kojak. 17th is Noflak, which is Magnussen. And in 18th place, Return of the Mac, it's Alexander Albon. And the constructors. I figured, as we're in America, which state would each team be? I probably do this every year, and it's never very funny. In first place, Texas is Red Bull. They've got some kooky bits, but actually they're pretty right wing. They're actually pretty right wing. In second place, Connecticut, lots of money and dull. It's Aston Martin. In third place, it's New York, fancy and shiny. It's Mercedes. In fourth place, it's Boston, famous for its Red Sox. It's Ferrari. I'm very sorry. Fifth place, California, because it's got no rust and lots of oranges, is McLaren. In sixth place, it's France. They didn't understand the rules. It's Alpine. In seventh place, it's Colorado, because I thought that's where Haas were based, but it's actually Carolina. In eighth place, it's Mississippi with old redneck Bottas. And in ninth place, it's Hawaii, because you're AlphaTauri. You might as well have a holiday. And in tenth place, out in the cold, it's Alaska with Williams.
Oh, Boston's not a state, but yeah, good.
Is Boston not a state?
Hang on. No, it's in Massachusetts.
Boston's a city, isn't it?
Yeah, but it works because Ferrari also quite often don't get the rules right.
Oh, but now I feel like an ignorant European who doesn't know anything about America apart from they've got guns. Oh,
I mean, that's pretty much it.
And now for the man of the match of driving.
Fernando Alonso.
Ooh.
And I do believe for first time in a very long time, and also for the final time, it's over to Chica for Chica Quiz.
Chica Quiz, Chica Quiz, Chica Quiz, let me quiz Chica Quiz. This is like when Ken Bruce left Radio 2.
So I came up with this this quiz about, I don't know, I think Matt texted me 7 minutes before we did the podcast.
Wait, Matt made you do it?
Pretty good.
I thought when you came on the call earlier on, you were like, I've done a Chica quiz for the first time in ages. I thought for once she fucking cares, and you don't care, do you, Chica?
No, I do care.
You just do as you're told.
I don't want to have, this is not terrible, this is like my final moment. Matt said, do a Chica quiz, and I said, good point, I've been thinking about that.
Ooh.
So then I actually got on and did one. So,
you feel bad now, Terry.
That's the backstory.
I don't feel bad because I always think about doing things and never do them, like design t-shirts, for example. But Matt never texts me and says design a t-shirt.
Right, so I'm going to quiz you on the lyrics of This Is the Formula.
Oh, God. Ooh. I've only listened to the first 10 seconds and I turned it off.
The new single from will.i.am and Lil Wayne, who are using, obviously, that song is their way of expressing their love for Formula One and not as a way of making loads of money. Hopefully I won't come across as too English here. I, Formula, bitch. So if you coming for me, lil bitch, just know I got an army, lil bitch. And beep, beep, beep. I don't need a shield. Don't need armor, you bitch.
Is this just taken straight from Team Radio?
I think it's, I've got an army, bitch, and I'm going to shoot you with it.
And my soldiers drive fast cars. Bitch.
Yeah, good. You're following that bit. So I'm going to give you half a point there. Ooh. For having bitch in there. But actually the line is, just know I got an army, little bitch, and we in the field like a farmer, you bitch.
Farmers don't we in the field.
Nonsense. We in the field like a farmer.
Okay. All right. So Phil has rash. Half a point for getting bitch, and Terry has no points.
Bitch.
Okay. So what did... I'm going to ignore that. What did Will.i.am have before formula, baby?
Is this a baby food question?
No, but it does kind of sound like it. But it's he's describing... I don't really know what he's describing, but he says, had something before formula, baby.
Qualifying. Had my champagne. Had my Moet. Moet, bitch. My absolute vodka.
You're saying qualifying?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
And I'm saying some kind of alcoholic beverage.
Formula Baby, right. Of course, is the new feeder series.
Yeah.
Which will get no television coverage.
Yes.
Well, you're both wrong. It's actually, Will.i.am actually had a grill before Formula Baby.
Oh, that's nice.
Question 3. Carfly like the Jetsons. You a small fry. What need? Insert here. What do you need?
I'm going to go with Big Stetsons.
Big Ooh. Stetsons. I guess
if they're small, a Big Stetson will make them look taller, and it rhymes with Jetsons.
No.
I'm going to think it's going to rhyme
like the Jetsons. Shh. You a small fry need Big Stetsons.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Phil. Got you.
If you're listening, Will.i.am, I'm available.
I think it's going to rhyme with fry, and I think it's going to be car guy.
Car guy.
Car guy. Right. Don't look at me like that's ridiculous when he has We the Farmers.
You are both wrong again.
What?
Although I think you both could have actually done better there. My car fly like the Jetsons. You, a small fry, need ketchup.
Mine's better. Mine fucking rhymes,
yours
at least.
Yours is better, yours is. Yeah.
And it makes more sense. You a small fry like ketchup. Ketchup is not like a small fry. It's a different thing.
All right, final question. This, my recipe, watch me go top speed, zoom. Go that full capacity, I've got energy, woo. My ability is beep through your beep zoom.
Okay, I've got mine.
Go on then.
Yeah.
My energy is sponsored by Monster and goes through your colon. Like boom.
My ability is sexuality through a cup of tea.
Okay.
And some HP sauce.
Yes. One sugar, semi-skim milk. Thanks very much.
My ability is zoom through your vicinity. Zoom.
What, the FaceTime thing?
I mean, I would say through your colon, that's the same as through your vicinity. I mean, that's just a polite way of saying it. Oh, that's gone right through my vicinity.
You can have half a point there.
Oh, that went...
Hang on, I've just lost my win. I demand a recount.
That curry went right
straight to the steward's office.
It's a draw. This game is great.
I gave you half a point for putting bitch.
Yeah, with the word that was in there. Honestly.
I'm going to miss the cheeky quiz. It's
I'm
a really
not.
Great
this
feature.
Is bullshit.
Look, let's all end this as friends.
Should we do it as a tiebreaker?
It's too late for that.
Yeah.
This is like when Ocon and Gasly fell out.
Oh. I am not going to suck you off, Phil.
And now time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
Or rather, this is the state of Chica. This is your life. Chica Anthony Aloysius Ayres will soon be departing from this podcast coil. For 8 years, Phil and me have been made to feel old because she was so young, and then sort of young again as Chica got old. We first met in a bar on the South Bank thrown together by producer Matt like we were on day one in the Big Brother house. Me, a faded star, shut up, pretending I could still be relevant. Phil, a motoring journalist powerhouse who had recently moved from the Middle East, given up rollerblading and food that has more than one syllable. And Chica, who worked for Six Music, was under 30 and lived in a disused peanut factory. My God, we were the zeitgeist of 2015. We did a few unbroadcast pilot episodes, but then for the Hungarian Grand Prix, we were ready to unleash ourselves to the world with a format of features that we doggedly haven't changed since. Who can forget the state of F1 with Terry Saunders and the standings with Terry Saunders? Over the years, we got drunk in various London pubs and fielded lots of questions from strangers and adoring fans like, what are you doing? Are you doing a podcast? And what's it about? F1. Oh. And then circa 2018, there was a stunning addition to the FF1S format when the Chica quiz that had the following jingle. Phil?
Chica quiz, let me... Oh, fucking hell, I've forgotten it.
Oh, fuck's sake. The Chica quiz really showed off all of Chica's skills and abilities, notably forgetting each week to write it, aside from the glorious week of Yes or Renault, and being unable to pronounce the name she'd written down for the quiz, and also having rules that didn't make sense. I've never told anyone this before, but Chica also saved my life. I had a bad accident going go-karting once. I cracked a rib and I don't want to talk about it. And I truly believe that if Chica hadn't been the most unbelievably slowest car on the track, like actually how could you go that slow and acted like a safety car stopping all the real racers crashing into my ribs, I might not be here today. But I am here today and soon you won't be. In 20... It's more threatening than I thought it sounded. In 2020, a pandemic happened. Meeting in pubs to talk about F1 became hard as there were no pubs or F1. Me, Chica and Matt decided to join Phil and move out of London to such exotic places as Stroud, Berlin and Kingston-upon-Thames, brackets not London, close brackets. You have a grown-up life now, and if I may say, I'm proud of you. No longer are you doing vodka jelly shots in your converted apartment and throwing up everywhere. That's left to me in Berlin now. You went from being our token millennial to our token 30-something who still couldn't say Andrea De Cesaris. It's easy. But the podcast as we know it is over. Like the rest of the world, we were forced to go on Zoom, drink at home and sacrifice our lockdown Sundays, entertaining the world with talk of F1 races and COVID tests. And COVID took so much from us. I couldn't attend your wedding. I couldn't attend your wedding, nor the birth of your child, although I don't think I was invited to that one. And now it's taken you, by which I mean you've decided to leave us and make doing a podcast about every single fucking Grand Prix not the centre of your life. You'd be rubbish on Missed Apex, but still better than them. But don't worry, I have a solution. FF1S will be a very different place without you, and whoever steps into your shoes won't be stepping into your shoes at all, as we'll be destroying everything left of yours the second you leave, blocking you on our socials and enforcing the NDA you signed. But in a much more real sense, you can't leave. Not because of that watertight contract you signed, but because you are FF1S, and you can't leave any more than Princess Diana left the royal family, instead haunting it like a vengeful ghoul when the next person takes over. By which I mean, you're welcome back any time, unless the new host finds you threatening, and then sorry, there's nothing I can do. So from all of our listeners, including the ones who stopped listening during the pandemic, I say thank you, goodbye, I wish you well, and off you fuck.
Oh, that was beautiful. Oh, wow.
What a eulogy.
Beautiful. Thank you.
There. So I am available for funerals.
That was so threatening. That is it from us. Goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. We don't have time to talk about the new F1 2023 game, but I don't really care because I'm sad.
And to Terry Saunders.
We haven't had time to talk, Chica, though. I just want to confirm, you're not off to a rival or new podcast, are you? And if you are, can I come?
It's just me and Terry.
What?
Phil and Terry will be back in 2 weeks to discuss the Italian Grand Prix that isn't actually the Italian Grand Prix. But in the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1'sSake, and follow us on Twitter @forF1'sSake. And Terry, where can people buy their merch?
I will be dumping it all outside your house and say, fine, you fucking sell it. Or you can go to ff1s.com/shop.
Thanks for listening. I've been Chica Ayres. Remember that name. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, Chica. Sad now.
Aww.
Social Podcast Network.